You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by the international diva who could never lose his passport, David Lim, and me, the one true voice of Romford, Joel Babington. Hello, Davo. How are you doing?
Good, JB. Good to be doing this again. I've had a wonderful time off in Australia, soaking up the sun, and now I'm back in London, swinging London town.
Swinging London town. He's back, ladies and gentlemen and non-binary friends. He's glowing. I'm so happy you're back here safely. So I've got you under my mitts and we can get back to what we are doing best. And I'm so looking forward to kicking off this very special series of episodes. We're not even teasing a, oh, if you guys like it, we'll do more. No.
This is something that so many people have wanted us to do. It's something we've wanted to do for a really long time.
And I would go out on a David limb and say that this is our actual most requested episode, full stop. You know, you guys asked for part twos and threes of everything, but this is the when are you doing Girls Aloud?
This year is 20 years of Girls Aloud, JB. There's still some bittersweet feelings about this. With Sarah's passing, it has been difficult for fans, and we're the same, really. Like, we've been thinking about doing Girls Aloud for quite some time, and I just think, yeah, we needed a little bit of a pause and not dive straight into it last year, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I feel like it's probably still hard now for some of us or for all of us, you know, but everything we're doing here is with love and absolute respect and a celebration of these five women and their incredible legacy. As everything we do here at Right Back At Ya, it is done with lots of love. And although it's, you know, it will always be so sad, but I cannot wait to kick off and celebrate these incredible, incredible women.
So much fun times, so much great pop music. And it's exactly what Sarah would have wanted, you know, just to keep the energy up, focus on the fun and the good times. So we're doing this for Sarah. We're doing it for all the Sarah Harding fans, all the Girls Aloud fans.
We absolutely are. Lots and lots and lots and lots of love to you, Sarah, and the fans.
All right, JB, it is Valentine's Day on release day, and we did ask a couple of weeks ago to our lovely listeners to send us their responses, because we're doing this new thing now, right?
Right.
Where it's question time, or we haven't got a jazzy name for it yet, but basically we want to hear from you guys. So this is a perfect opportunity to write in, tell us some stories, and we ask for you to let us know who was your 2000s crush. Because, you know, why be thirsty by yourself on this very day? Share the thirst. Some of the responses we got are hilarious, but also very true.
Yeah, we got some fabulous responses, and I'm going to whiz you through a few of our favourites, and then David's going to end with our sort of headline answer.
We were like, oh, we'll just pick one or two, but we were like, no, this is too much fun.
We had to have them. So one of our lovely listeners, Emma, sent us a response. First of all, she said she loves that we're doing this. We love that we're doing it too. Thank you, Emma. This is the kind of response we love and need.
Yeah, we need that validation. Let us know we're doing okay all the time.
All the time, every day, even if, you know, just
even when we're not asking for it, just validate us, please.
Yeah, that's what we need, a validate us day instead of a Valentine's Day. Lovely Emma has said, as a teenager, I fell in love with Lee Ryan from Blue.
Oh, okay.
I was convinced we would end up together. I feel like we're very Smash Hits mailbag right now. Smash Hits Revisited, because nearly 20 years later, he ended up in my DMs.
Oh, wow.
So he was like, yeah, you're right, Emma. Yeah, how's it going, girl?
Why does Lee Ryan sound like Outer Mel?
Because have you heard Lee Ryan, David?
Yes, I heard him on the end of Fergie's London Bridge.
Bubbling, bubbling. What's that all about, Fergie?
London, London, London. Nah, mate. Nah, geez. It sounds a bit better than that.
Amel should have been on the Fergie album. That's still to come. Nothing came of it, she said, unfortunately, but it made teenage Emma so happy. Love that for you, Emma.
You're right, Em. Do you want to walk down London Bridge?
So we also heard from Gary. And Gary said something that I can strongly agree with and relate to. Gary said, Paul Cattermole during the Seven campaign, no doubt. Completely with you there, Gary. Mm. Spent many a time rewatching that Natural Music video. We also heard from Craig, who said Robbie Williams in the Rock DJ video. And then, I don't know, how would you describe this face emoji?
So that's the kind of like twisty face emoji.
Yeah, like, oh, I shouldn't have had too many drinks.
Yes. Oh, okay, someone likes a bad boy. All right then.
Because I think that video was sort of banned at the time and you could buy it on DVD for like the full thing.
What was so naughty about it? I can't remember. I thought he was
only... Because he strips naked and then he strips off his skin. And he turns inside out.
Oh, okay, okay. It's coming back to me now. Yeah, very graphic.
So yeah, I think we all had a moment with that. I was like, you know, I want him to just get to the point where he's naked. I don't need to like turn inside out. Andrew knows the way to all of our hearts. Rachel Stevens, heart eye emojis. The glam, the bops, the serve. Put that on my tombstone.
Also FHM queen, right? Rachel Stevens.
Sexiest woman of all time.
All time, literally.
All time.
How would they know? How would FHM editor at that time know who was coming? They just knew that it would never be better than Rachel Stevens. Womanhood peaked at Rachel Lauren Stevens.
And the fantastic account, if you're not following them, Bop V Flop, said, at that age, it was Kavanagh because he was always in smash hits. And sometimes he was flashing his nipples. As a teenage boy, this was hot, H-A-W-T. And they have sent a picture of Kavanagh sort of with boxing gloves on and an open robe, which we will be sharing on socials.
Oh my God, Kavanagh. Look, he was so cute back in the day. Like when the big reunion aired and I started Googling pictures, I was like, definitely, that's my boy. He's got my heart. So now we've got an email here from Joshua who said, hi, boys. My ultimate naughties Valentine is EastEnders heartthrob and Kim Marsha's sloppy seconds, Jack Ryder. I remember the first time 10-year-old me clapped eyes on mega twink Jamie Mitchell's perfect curtains and being instantly enamoured. I was absolutely distraught when he died on Christmas Day 2002 after Martin...
Spoilers! Some people might not be up to date yet.
After Martin Fowler mowed him down outside Walford Tube Station. In that moment, we were all sobbing. Sonia at his hospital bedside. Oh my God, Josh. I mean, I need to catch up on my EastEnders. First of all, let me Google this twink.
Jack Ryder. Married Kim Marsh. She was Kim Ryder for a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Hold up a minute. Is he like the EastEnders, like Leo DiCaprio?
That's exactly what I was about to say. So you'll often see memes around of Sonia and Jack Ryder together in EastEnders and saying, says Jack and Rose, Titanic, Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio, Titanic.
Oh my God, I totally see it. I totally see it. So thank you so much, Josh, for sending that in. Oh, you've made my day now.
He's aged very well, hasn't he?
Mm, right? Daddy Ryder. Okay, actually, let's not say that. Okay, JB, tell us, who is your naughties Valentine's crush?
I'm going to throw back to our Soap UK episode, Sexy Will Meller.
Oh, you've never said Will Meller before.
Oh, I've got three now. They're all coming up in my mind. Sexy Will, Philip Olivier. Do you know who Philip Olivier is? Google him, David. Anyone that in the UK that had internet around the 2000s was... Googling Philip Olivier.
Oh, gorgeous. Okay. He looks like a Disney prince.
Jennifer Ellison's partner on Brookside.
There is an Attitude magazine cover.
Oh, there's several.
Oh, Lord. Okay, Philip Olivier. Yes.
In this same realm, Hollyoaks star, along with Will Meller, Jeremy Edwards, Rachel Stevens' former fiancé. Come on then, Davo. Who about you?
Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic.
Oh, the Leonardo of the square.
No.
The actual Leo.
Actual Leo.
Cue Claire Sweeney's version of My Heart Will Go On.
Same with Josh. There was something about the curtains that did it for me. The blonde curtains. I'm still trying to hang
You're
on to
rocking
the
curtains. Stuff.
Yeah, I'm just, I think I'm just like really obsessed with the curtains.
You actually look like you could be on your 80s cover at the minute, like your 80s album cover. David Lim, Party Time.
It literally would be called Party Time in like rainbow coloured fonts.
The male Sonia.
With like a baggy jumper and like leggings. Cause you never stop me from loving you.
Valentine's Day anthem.
Number one in Hong Kong.
Well, fantastic, David. I loved that. And I look forward to the next one. I've decided it's going to stay in. So keep your eyes peeled for future questions. You better be following us. But if you're not already, follow us at Right Back Pod on all social media platforms, even Bieber.
And now we are back to Girls Aloud, our main programming for the moment. Girls Aloud goes down in history as one of the UK's most successful girl groups and were a major force in pop music, scoring 4 UK number one singles and 20 consecutive UK top 10 singles. Literally, not everybody has that.
No.
Girls Aloud have released 5 studio albums. All of them were certified at least platinum. They have 2 number one albums, The Sound of Girls Aloud, the first greatest hits, and Out of Control, their final studio album. They were one of so few reality TV acts to actually have career longevity. 10 years after they debuted, JB, Girls Aloud were named the UK's best-selling girl group of the 21st century, with 4.3 million single sales and over 4 million albums sold here in the UK alone.
Amazing. David, listeners at home, I'm taking you back to 20 years ago, later this year, the most groundbreaking television show of my lifetime, Pop Stars, The Rivals on ITV. Now, if you're a listener of this show, I'm sure you know the Pop Stars franchise. In the UK, we had Pop Stars, which launched Hearsay and Libsy X. In Australia, we had Our Girls, Bar Joe, you know,
and Scandalous.
And Scandal Us. And of course, we have American franchises all around the world. So here in the UK, for series 2 of Pop Stars, ITV launched Pop Stars, The Rivals. Now, this show wasn't going to create one band. This was going to create 2 bands, 1 girl band, 1 boy band. Both would be battling out live on television for a place in the band. So we had 10 boys, 10 girls, all getting voted out week by week to make the final band. And then the boy band and the girl band would be battling it out for the coveted Christmas number 1 of 2002.
Now, that is ambitious. Like, I can't even think, did they have a plan B if neither singles made number one? Like, I just...
The Cheeky Girls could have got it.
The Cheeky Girls were part of this series, weren't they?
They were. Look, this is my plea. We've done this on socials and I'm sure on the pod. Please, ITV, BritBox, release this show in full. As a world, haven't we suffered enough? Just give us a little bit of light. I need the full of this. I need Pop Stars Arrivals, the full series. I need the ITV2 Extra show, which was called Pop Stars Arrivals Extra. I think it was presented by Dane Bowers.
No way.
And Hayley Everett from Pop Idol Series 1 finalist and Pop Stars Series 1. So icons only. I didn't have ITV2 at the time, so I didn't see sort of, you know, like the Extra Factor style show. There's the official hour video and DVD, which is on YouTube. And then there's the odd episode here and there. But I need the full thing. You know, we're completists here at Right Back Atcha.
We even need the number at the bottom of the screen to vote.
Vote Kim Black.
We're not going to... Do you remember those messages that would pop out the bottom of the screen? Do not vote for this after this time. You may still be charged.
I am. I still do it when I'm lonely. Let me just vote for Kim, just in case. So, David, this show, it felt like a cultural reset, especially to our generation when you were here growing up. You know, I was like, what, 10? This was just like need-to-know television.
We've already had Pop Idol, is that right?
So by this point, we would have had Pop Stars Series 1, and then we had Pop Idol Series 1, and that was the first of these shows to have the live format.
I see. Okay, so because I did always think, wow, for the second series of Pop Stars, they really like shook up the format.
Leveled up.
Yeah, because in Australia, we were still like going through the motions with that similar formula.
Mm-hmm.
But this was such a hybrid, like amped up competition that they were presenting. So we've got Pete Waterman as one of the judges, Louis Walsh as the other, and Geraldine Estelle Halliwell, aka Ginger Spice.
I mean, just mentor, and who better to know about this than Geraldine Estelle? So Pete is creating a boy band who is going to be signed to Jive.
Uh,
record.
He calls it a vocal harmony group.
Oh, Pete Waterman's on the phone there.
He kept correcting Davina on that.
And Louis Walsh is creating a girl band who are going to be signed to Polydor, and he's going to be managing, so he says.
Love that. With, you know, each group, there's already a record company signed to
it. And it's two different record companies, so it really is a battle. It's not just they're both with Polydor, you know. And when I was a kid, I always thought it's so strange to me that Louis Walsh is doing the girl band, because he was so famous for Boyzone and Westlife. But thank God, when you now look back, Pete Waterman, he did a fantastic job with Steps, obviously, as we all know, but he did not need to go near this band. We followed the show from the auditions and they whittled it down. We ultimately are falling in love with them as the nation, and the nation's deciding. And I remember as a kid, I desperately wanted to be in the band Nadine Coyle and Kimberly Walsh.
Oh, yes.
And I remember discussing this with my sister. I can't remember why, but for some reason I was missing the final. I don't know if a friend had a birthday party or something. And I said to Kylie, you have to write down who's in the band because I need to know. So this is a time of, even though we had the internet, I don't think we had in my house yet, she had to handwrite down to remind me who's going to be in this band.
Nadine and Kimberly were your favourites from the audition.
They just were.
Onwards. I mean, Nadine was a sensational live vocalist.
Our minds were blown the first time we heard this girl sing. And she had such a buzz about her, as everyone listening to this podcast knows, that a year before Popstars Arrivals, Nadine was on Popstars Island. And she made it to the band who would become Six with their hit single, Whole Lot of Nothing, or something like that. Infamous, it's not an S Club cover.
You know my favourite S Club album track, Whole Lot of Nothing. That's what I thought you said.
No. And so Nadine had infamously lied about her age on this show, giving the wrong date of birth, looking for her passport.
Nadine Coyle, I'm from Lurkill and Derry. Did a birth 15th of the 6th, 85, making me a Gemini.
We asked you yesterday your date of birth.
I give you the wrong date of birth.
Are you sure?
Aye.
Definitely. What is it?
I think
it?
15th of 6th, 87 or something. I saw.
No, sorry. You said 85.
No, I give the wrong date of birth.
What's your date of birth?
83. And that's what I said to them was last night. I says, I think I give her the wrong date of birth. I think I'll give
her. Have you got your passport?
Mm-hmm.
Making me a Gemini.
Making me a Gemini. The original Derry girl, Nadine Coyle. So that was still international news, though. She came on and chatted about it here on SMTV, and H and Claire were presenting at the time, and they're asking her, do you regret what you've done? And she's like, no, you know, I still didn't buy it.
Me ma'am forgot to pack me passport.
Me mammy forgot to pack me wee passport. So she says at the time, well, Louis Walsh is managing me now.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting. A little bit of tea there.
Cut to, we see this wonderful girl on Popstars, The Rivals.
And then she walks in and he's like, oh, she's good, or whatever it is he said. There was just this knowing glance between the two of them.
This is Nadine. She was on the Irish Popstars. And then they're like, you're through. Oh, would you stop? There are obviously, for me, there are other favourite finalists, and I think we'll touch on them and their stories another day.
I know you're really big on Clea, and I must say, JB, in preparation for this episode, watching a little bit of Popstars The Rivals, I'm kind of into doing Clea now. I texted you. I was like, I think I'm ready to do Clea.
Yeah, it's non-optional. I was born ready to do Clea, so we will absolutely be getting to that. And of course, there is the incredible, gorgeous, hugely talented Javine, who is a fantastic, fantastic singer. And I'm sure we will get around to celebrating her.
So many bangers.
So many bangers. So alongside Nadine, we also see on the show the sweetheart of Newcastle, Cheryl Tweedy. And David, I found out when she was a young teenager, she'd started working with a talent company called Brilliant, who apparently later became 19 Management.
Oh, okay.
So imagine in some alternate universe, we see we could have had Cheryl Tweedy in S Club 7.
Or maybe if 19 wanted to start their own girl group, her, Rachel Stevens.
We've had Spice Girls, we've had S Club 7. Let's have a new whatever.
Edgier R&B group.
You know, this is by no means a girl that showed up to the audition for the first time in her first big audition. She was performing around Newcastle and really chasing her dream. She even opened for Damage in Newcastle.
Did she? On her own, as a solo act? Wow.
As a solo act. They were coming to Newcastle and her local management there got her the opening gig for Damage.
Yes, Cheryl. Get it.
We also have the UK's national treasure, Kimberly Walsh.
Kimberly, Queen of Regatta Coats.
Queen of Regatta and Queen of Musical Theatre and, you know, the heart and soul of Girls Aloud.
Ambassador for Brasserie's Adele's.
Absolutely. Kimberly is someone that's been working and grafting since she was a child. She's been working in odd bits on TV shows here and there. She was in Les Mis as a child at the Manchester Palace. And as a teenager, she was in a TV show with Kelly from Liberty X where they were both playing pop stars.
Very foreshadowing. And also even the role in Les Mis, you know, all those years later, Center Stage by Kimberly Walsh.
Exactly. Buy it now, stream it now, or hear me singing along to it in the shower. And then alongside those, we also have two more hearts of the band. I think the fantastic thing here is that they're all the heart and soul of the band, aren't they?
We love all the girls equally. Everyone brought something special and everyone had so much personality and just, yeah.
And signature vocals and, you know,
definitely,
everything.
Yeah.
That somehow magically beautifully all works so together. So we also have the incredible Sarah Harding and the gorgeous Nicola Roberts.
Sarah was so magnetic on screen. I have to say, watching back some of these old episodes, you're just like, she walks in the room, does her thing, flashes a beautiful smile, and you're like, she looks like she was just born ready to do this.
What's really interesting is that the original final 10 girls for Popstars Arrivals did not include Nicola Roberts and did not include Kimberly Walsh.
They were shocking, both in isn't it?
Shocking. They were both in the final 15 and did not make the final 10. So we originally had Hazel, who is this stunning Irish vocalist. She was pregnant at the time, which was very sort of not infamous in its own way. It was like, wow, Hazel, she's pregnant. She's got an amazing voice. And her brother is in The Wanted.
There was an Irish one in The Wanted?
Is it pronounced Siva?
Yeah. I didn't know it was Irish. Okay.
Small world, isn't it? And then there was also Nicola Ward. Now, Nicola had also popped up on Pop Idol, and she was an original member of Cookie. But Nicola left due to contract issues, and Hazel left because it turned out she was actually 10 days too old to be part of the show.
Oh, for God's sakes. But they allowed her to go through the audition process, the kind of boot campy episodes, obviously for TV drama, right?
Yeah, it also turned out that she was due during one of the live finals.
Oh my God, the drama.
So, and I think this is the interesting thing when you look back now that TV's slightly different. I think you would sort of sort out the contract straight away now. And it might still be TV drama, but here they're saying they hadn't sorted, they didn't sort out the contracts until the final 10. And that's when these issues are arising.
Simon Cowell would never allow that.
Now, what's interesting is at the time, throughout the whole show, really, the boys were kind of assumed to be the favourites. And, you know, you get from them what was an obvious cliche of a winner single.
Look, this is not a One True Voice episode, but while we're here, like, I was quite impressed with the vocalists that were in that group, especially Daniel and Anton. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
Fantastic vocalists, but it really does go to show, right? It's not necessarily about the voice or even voices. You know, all of them together, I'm not really sure they had time to really gel and become a proper vocal harmony group as per what Pete wanted. And then the song choice for the single, terrible, absolute letdown. And we are where we are today.
Probably would have been fine if it was just them. But obviously the girls did something different.
Next to Girls Aloud,
And it just was so jarring. But what I think's interesting is you now look on two decades later, David, and why hasn't anyone learned from Girls Aloud? Why have we then had, especially for the next decade, another series of cliche winners singles?
This is why we can't trust some people in positions of power, yeah. I think that's kind of what makes Sound of the Underground and Girls Aloud's win so special. Like,
one of a kind.
They were doing something no one else were doing at that time. They were thinking differently and approaching this group differently.
I also think it didn't help that One True Voice had a double A side, whereas Girls Aloud had Sons of the Underground and then Stay Another Day, which is a B side and a Christmas song. So it helps them to promote on the circuit. But the boys, you've got two singles, two videos. It's distracting attention.
And also those two singles weren't that different. They were like basically two pop ballads. So I just don't get it.
No. So unfortunately, One True Voice did become another lost Jive UK act, along with our girl Ellie Campbell and my new old favourite, Lauren Waterworth.
You sent me a link to that. and I'm just like, what? Did the UK have like a country pop girl that we didn't know about?
I'm like, how are these pop girls still coming out the woodworks that we don't know about? The final six girls all recorded the song and shot the cover art, and Javine was on every option of the song. And after the band was revealed, Cheryl was driven to the studio straight away to re-record Javine's lines. And on the original single mix, Kimberly didn't have any solos, even though she had recorded it. So it was quickly remixed to give Kimberly some lines.
I mean, we say some, but I think Kimberly had one solo line in the end. It's mad, isn't it, to think about this process and how quickly they had to put that together. But also, like, gosh, like, they really were confident that Javine was going to make the band.
I found out that Louis Walsh one week told Nadine that Kimberly was being voted off. And because Nadine and Kimberly were so close at that time, Nadine started freaking out and they had to get a nurse to calm Nadine down.
Oh, bless.
Now, we've mentioned it, I think, believe on the Nicola Roberts episode, but the final seven girls doing Independent Women is iconic.
Yeah, I live for it.
Now, David, we were both watching the finale. Well, I found it very refreshing, actually. On one hand, the format is both bands have been picked and decided by the public now, and they are going to perform their singles. But before that, they're all going to sing one of your favourite numbers from the last week, few weeks of the live shows to remind you why you've picked them in the band. And then the boys perform their double A side and the girls perform Stay Another Day first and then Sound of the Underground. So the first sort of thing we're seeing as Girls Aloud is Stay Another Day. Now, this was an all-star audience. So we had, obviously, the members that would become Fix, Clear and Javine in the audience, the Popstars Arrivals finalists. Simon Cowell was there, I'm sure, taking notes for his future coming show. And who else did you spot in the audience, David?
Our faves, S Club Juniors. I was just casually watching this, and then the camera pans, and I'm like, Rochelle? Like a baby Rochelle.
It takes you a minute because I thought that. I was like, was that Rochelle on her own? And then it adjusts because obviously it's not in the highest quality. And then you realise it's the whole S Club, all eight of them in the row. Now, David, I, during lockdown, purchased the ultimate lockdown purchase, the Popstars The Rivals board game. But I've still left it in the plastic wrapping. So you need to come over and we need to play that board game.
I did not know they had a board game. Like, how would that work? I'm very intrigued.
I think it's like, kind of generic, like you play the board game and then there is a karaoke CD as well.
Oh my God. Okay, we are definitely doing this. Did you ever know that you're my hero? You rolled a double, David. You have to roll again.
That's very... Nicola sung that, so you can be Nicola and I'll be Kimberly. Unbreak my heart. Say you'll love me again. Vote Kimberly. So, David, as we were saying, it was then, for the next few weeks, all-out war. Bye, boys. Bye, girls.
Genius campaign. Genius slogan.
So that is BUY, girls, and BYE, boys. Greatest slogan and marketing campaign of all time. David, can we please talk about the greatest Christmas song and Christmas single of all time? One of the most influential songs of our lifetime. The greatest TV winner's single, TV winner's single of all time. The song that still 20 years on, every time it's played on a night out or a party or a club, it goes off.
Oh, absolutely. Sound of the Underground. This is a classic. It's a sound. explosive, super cool, so slick, is absolutely not what you would have expected to come out of Popstar's Arrivals. I don't know, I still get excited listening to this song. It sounds just as fresh today as it did 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was edgy, it was drum and bassy, it was absolutely poppy, and it is an 11 out of 10 banger. It just takes you to hear that opening, dun dun dun, for you to go, oh my God!
I think it was just clear that Polydor was just much more invested. Even in that finale performance where they do their respective singles, One True Voice walks on stage. The stage wasn't even dressed. There was nothing, no logos with the band name, nothing. But Girls Aloud, when they go on to do Sound of the Underground, they had a plexiglass stage, bloody smoke machines going off, mic stands, a band in the background with a drummer and like a DJ. It looked like a proper Top of the Pops performance.
The girls have said that Louis wasn't really involved. And I guess this is the point, he would have been the most involved. But so he was probably just saying, yeah, 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 to whatever the people at Polydor were sort of saying and suggesting at this point.
The song was allegedly originally offered to Samantha Mumba first, who is a Louis Walsh act. Our girl Sam, as folklore would have it, turned it down for I'm Right Here, which has more of an R&B feel, which I guess was where she was headed.
I really can't get my head around not even just Samantha Mumba doing this, but it being a solo song, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's so frenetic, it works so well with the different parts. But, I mean, I'd love to see Sam do it.
Disco dancing with the lights down low. I don't know why she's turned to Macy Gray, but yes.
That was fantastic. I think Pete Waterman knew it was a losing battle for him, and he really threw his toys out the pram. He started talking absolute shite, to quote our girl Nicola Roberts. Pete Waterman caused a media frenzy, David, because he accused Girls Aloud of being unoriginal and not singing on their record. So there was all this hoo-ha of, have Girls Aloud stolen the track from another band? Is it a cover? So Xenomania, a few years prior to this, was starting their own girl band, Orchid, not Wild mm-hmm. Orchid with Fergie. That's a different girl band. This was one of 60 tracks, I believe, they were putting together for this band, and it was going to be with London Records. There was going to be a Xenomania London Records deal, but it never happened. So there was the track and there were session singers on it, like any song that's doing the rounds in it before it gets attached to a singer.
So this group, Orchid, one of the members is Louise Griffiths, who went on Fame Academy in 2003. And the other member is Giselle Somerville. She went on to become one of the songwriters at Xenomania. So she went on to co-write a lot of future Girls Aloud singles like Biology, Something Kind of Ooh, Call the Shots. Yeah, Giselle's there. But also Giselle went on to form a duo with Naira Scarlett, who did Sound of the Underground. As a duo, they were called Mania. So it's all in the Xenomania family, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's like, you know, these shows are meant to show you behind the scenes of the industry. And this is what happens, you know, songs are out there, producers make them, they give them to bands. To then be saying it like it's an uncommon way to go about things is just ridiculous. And Pete Waterman should certainly know better.
You know, the girls put their hands up and say, yeah, you know, some of the vocals were kept on the track. It just kind of filled it out a little bit more. But I just think, yeah, this is, you know, it doesn't make a difference, does it? You know, they've voted for these girls. They've watched them for 10 weeks on the show. They know they can sing. So, yeah.
So this music video, again, like all-star people from the get-go, you know, we've got the iconic, legendary music video director Phil Griffin shooting this music video. He'd then go on to film the girls' next two videos after this.
Now, Phil at this time had also just done Sugar Babes' Round Round. And I think it's really interesting because there are sort of elements that are quite similar with both videos. They do both have that kind of underground, slightly grimy feel to it, the metal cage. So there is a little bit of like resemblance and continuity between those two. But also, looking back 20 years on, they're both so defining in the way of how they really reshaped British pop music.
What an exciting way to, you know, 2 years into the decade, really be kicking that off. But when you look at this music video, right, you've got a warehouse or a basement, a cage, dodgy lighting, but it's still sexy. It's stylized, cool, edgy. This is not what you expect from a winner single. And it is fantastic. And it's amazing how even at this point, they're already managing to look like a cool, cohesive band. Now, David, did you know as well that Girls Aloud did record the One True Voice single Sacred Trust, and it appears as on the special edition bonus disc of the first Girls Aloud greatest hits album, The Sound of Girls Aloud.
No way.
I mean, they sing it lovely. Some really lovely bits from Nicola and Nadine on the track. But I wondered, it's such a random thing because it wasn't released as in like, oh, this is funny. It was literally just on there on the bonus disc. Nothing really said about it. And I wondered in a weird way if it was contractual. So I wondered if there was some sort of in these contracts here from pop stars. I wonder if it said something about when you release your greatest hits, it has to include this on it. I don't know. I might just be like overthinking everything because we're allowed to do that.
So do you think that, yeah, that was mentioned at some point, maybe early in the series, that you would both go and record the same song and then whichever version becomes number one is the winner?
Yeah, because else, why else would they record it?
In my mind, that also makes sense that, say, if Polydor listened to that and went, nah, that's not going to work. We're going to get our own song in. Here's Sound of the Underground.
That'll do.
Yeah, not that shit.
So Sound of the Underground debuted at number one on the UK singles chart in 2002. So David, Girls Aloud sold just over 213,000 copies, while One True Voice's Sacred Trust sold 147,000 copies. Still hugely, hugely respectable. But this song stayed at number one for a month. It was the last song at number one of 2002 and the first song at number one in 2003. Internationally, David, this song did, you know, very respectable in Australia, a 31 hit on the Arias.
It wasn't quite in real time. I think this was released at some point in 2003, but I remember the very first time I saw any mention of Girls Aloud was in The Herald Sun, written by Cameron Adams, of course, the lovely Cameron Adams who listens to our podcast. I believe he reviewed this single, definitely reviewed No Good Advice and the album as well, I think.
Cameron Adams, fresh on it there, God love him.
Yeah, that was the first time I read it in print. I was like, okay, this sounds like an exciting group. But I have to say, I can't really remember a time where I've heard this song on the radios or maybe even seen it on TV.
I mean, it must have done something to get 31.
Exactly.
Must a have live done video link on Sunrise, perhaps?
Kyle and Jackie O interview.
Gosh, that would be fascinating to hear Girls Aloud on Kyle and Jackie O.
Could you repeat that, please?
Also number two on the Euro Hot 100, 55 in France, 42 in Germany, 9 and 10 in the Netherlands on their respective charts, 10 in Romania, number one in Scotland, we love you Scotland, 39 in Sweden and 25 in Switzerland. In the year-end charts 2002, David, it was number 10 in Ireland, so even though it had a lower charting, that's fantastic, because in the UK, it was the 17th best-selling single of 2002. Bearing in mind it only had a week, that's pretty impressive.
And do you know what? Out of all the winner singles that we have gotten in history, this one's a classic.
That's the best one.
This one stands on its own. Yeah, definitely.
So, David, I'd say they had a well-earned Christmas break. I hope they did, but I bet they didn't because they were booked and busy while preparing their, you know, debut album and their new life as Girls Aloud. So we're now in 2003. And we kick it off on a bit of a sour note, unfortunately. The Arena Pop Stars The Rivals UK tour is cancelled due to low ticket sales. And this would have been a really exciting tour. It would have been co-headlined by Girls Aloud and One True Voice. But it also would have had the other finalists on it. So Fix, Clear and Javeen. And who knows? I wonder if maybe they would have got the Cheeky Girls to do it as well.
Yeah, maybe as a support act.
I feel like they just didn't promote it hard enough or something. Like, don't wait until your winners are announced. You know how, like, on The X Factor halfway through, they'd say, and you're all doing the tour.
Yeah, but also I feel like because of the nature of the format of Pop Stars to Rivals, it's kind of like no one's really taking ownership of it because Polydor had Girls Aloud to push. One True Voice with Jive had their own thing to push. Who's really in charge of pushing the tour? Have to laugh at some of the quotes in the press here. Louis Walsh, the minute that went down, it was like, Girls Aloud are doing brilliantly and they don't need to be supported by anyone else. The association with the boys was letting them down. The boys are not looking good at all. The girls are absolutely delighted. They're going to be massive. They're the only pop stars that are going to break outside the UK.
A shame that they had to put the boys down to say like it was the boys' fault, but hey ho, what are you going to do? So let's fast forward to May 2003, David. Girls Aloud are back with their second single, No Good Advice.
I found it really interesting that they took 5 months to find the right single. And obviously because, yeah, Sound of the Underground was number one for a month, it kind of made sense to just kind of take a little bit of a pause at the start of the year, get your shit together. They're probably recording the album at this time. You know, if they were doing that tour, I can't even imagine what quality the album would have been.
God, it would have ended up being like a Mother's Day release day if it wouldn't be. I don't need that. So we've released our covers of the songs we performed on the show. Oh my gosh.
No. So really, that tour not going on was a blessing in disguise in so many ways.
It wasn't for Clear.
It wasn't for Fix. This felt like a real continuation. It's again another Xenomania track. There is a real through line from where they were on top of the charts to now. And once again, they're embracing the kind of more indie rocky element. That was kind of what was the flavor of that time. I remember first time hearing this song that it kind of sounds a little bit like My Sharona. Do you know that song?
Oh my God. Do you know what, David? On behalf of the listeners, because both them and me, there's just some things you wish people wouldn't say because now that's all you're going to think about.
Dun, dun, dun. But also we had that Rogue Traders single that also sounded like My Sharona.
Oh, I love that. Baby, 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 you are my voodoo child, my voodoo child. Oh, I loved it. I was like the UK street team for Rogue Traders.
Oh my God, I love that. Yes, Nat Bass fan.
Yeah, I'm a big Nat Bass and Way fan. Loved Neighbours at the time, you know, her, Stiff Mac, it all crossed over. But I loved it. I was dead Inzy, dead Rocky, dead Poppy. So David, this, we've, as you said, we've got Xenomania back, but this song is also written by Aqua's Lean.
Lena from Aqua, yes.
Lena, what are you doing here?
I absolutely love Lena's solo album, Play With Me. Now, I got that in Malaysia. I saw it in the bargain bins. I'm like, I didn't even know she had a solo album. So Lena worked with Xenomania on her solo album, and we would actually go on to see 2 songs from that album end up in Girls Aloud's discography, Here We Go and We Wanna Party. So,
oh, that's the background to Here We Go.
Okay, well, we'll definitely get into this when we touch on the other Girls Aloud albums, but we love to see Lena from Aqua here. Also, we must say, No Good Advice was originally intended for Miranda Cooper's solo project, Moon Baby. You know how you were talking about before, Joel, that Xenomania and London Records were meant to have like some sort of deal? That deal didn't work out, and Brian Higgins said, as a result of that, they wrote No Good Advice.
Well, there you go. And look, Brian, you don't need No Good Advice. And it's good that that song came from it because look what London Records did to Holly, you know. Would it have panned out?
They did Holly Valance wrong for the State of Mind album.
Davo, We've swapped out mic stands and we've got tambourines. And I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. So not only do we have tambourines, right, but for the general staging choreo, but we've got also special editions. So Top of the Pops, we've swapped tambourines for backing dancers and live vocals. It is so good. And then they went all out when they performed it on CD UK again. You know, on one performance, we've got, it's literally taking the CD cover into a live version. We've got the checkerboard background, red dresses Love and it. The tambourines. And then another week, we've got a New York yellow taxi with fantastic staging on and around it. Like, no expense was spared. They were going doing the hard push in this time.
And I think that makes sense, you know, because they didn't want to be a one-hit wonder. So there was a lot of pressure riding on No Good Advice. And also the album was coming out in the same month. So it really was a time for Girls Aloud to be seen. And
they were everywhere.
You know, looking back in this era of Girls Aloud, I really appreciate that they had a bit more of a grit to their image. Do you know what I mean? Like, they weren't like super girly or super glamorous in that sense. Like, they were just the right mix of high street relatable girls, high street fashion, but
rocky and edgy.
Yeah.
They really did keep on with it for this album and era. They actually kind of birthed their wide appeal in a way in the next album. But some fans, the hardcore fans here, I think, struggled to get through to that. It took a minute to find its footing. But Girls Aloud didn't like this song initially, David.
Oh, yeah. There was a little bit of a tussle with Brian Higgins of Xenomania. He had some very strong words to them, a bit of a reality check about how their creative relationship was going
to
be.
So they literally said, you know, that's not our sound. And he said, you've got 5 minutes to talk about if you want to continue working with me or not. And they came back and it all went really well since then. So that's all
I love
good.
That kind of ultimatum. Imagine if we could say that to our clients and to like...
You've got 5 minutes, see if you want to continue this or not, you know? So stop jabbering on and let's get to it, all right?
You've got 5 minutes to get your shit together. Stop wasting my time.
So we've got Phil Griffin here again, directing an iconic music video. Now,
is it iconic though, JB? I'm going to be controversial here.
Yes, because we've got the 80s glamorous older sister to Sound of the Underground. And I know the girls hated the filming of this, but I think it of the time, it's a fantastic music video.
For me, it's a bit of a forgettable music video. It looked a little bit budget.
I think it's cool. Yeah, I think it's dead tinfoil-y, which I really like.
Do you know who else thought that? I love that CD UK exclusive interview where Cheryl's like, it's a strong image, you know, Silver's coming back in. Did you know, JB, Silver was coming back in?
Right.
In May 2003.
Let's have Tinfoil come back in. Let's have like Y2K come back in. But I think as much as like we love these girls and these girls are the icons of Jeans and a Nice Top, I think we don't need to bring Jeans and a Nice Top back.
I think Jeans and a Nice Top is just...
Never left.
It never left. It's an evergreen thing. But you know what I do have an issue with that was very big around this time? 3/4 kind of trousers.
Oh, God.
It does nothing for your proportions, honey. Like, let's leave that one in the past.
Yeah.
But I do love like a superfluous scarf, like a very thin scarf that barely covers it.
Oh, God, very Ashley Simpson.
But you have to have it.
I don't like them.
I know, but I loved it at the time. The really thin scarves and the kind of Baker Boy hats.
And you know what I really don't want to come back? The little cardigans that like just cut off under your armpit. Like, don't go all the way down. Those tiny little cardigans.
There's a lot of things that were, yeah, questionable at this time.
And
but...
look, give us 6 months, we'll be rocking it, I'm sure.
But also while we're talking about the styling and this music video, I have to say everyone's hair here, it's kind of like they hadn't discovered or they hadn't fallen into the signature hairstyles that we know them for. Like Kimberly in this video has the kind of...
I love her fringe.
The really straight fringe with the sandy blonde. That actually looks like a hair that Cheryl has in the future.
Oh, I really liked your hair in that one, Kimberly. Do you mind if I give it a go? Oh, no, Cheryl. When I had it, right, I thought, this ain't me, this is Cheryl. So I said, you should go for it, Shezza. Literally, right, I was going to say that this having that fun, innit? Clearing that fun, eh? You know, regardless of what you thought of it, David, and the girls, this video was voted by the viewers of FHM TV as the fifth sexiest music video of all time. Sexiest.
Silver's coming back in.
And by 2006, it had come back in, David.
It's a strong image, you know.
Right, everyone, go and show us your best tinfoil outfits. We will wait. This song smashed in here in the UK. It was a top two hit. It was also a top two hit in Scotland, 97 in Romania, 23 and 26 in the Netherlands on their respective charts, 2 in Ireland, 7 in Europe, 45 in Belgium, 88 in Australia. So they are still rocking up.
Cameron Adams reviewed this single in the Herald Sun, and I remember distinctly cutting this out and gluing it in my school diary. So it must have made an impression. But yeah, I remember seeing copies of No Good Advice and Sound of the Underground in Kmart, in your local Targets and all that. So we certainly got a taste of Girls Aloud.
So the B-side, David, was a fabulous song called On a Round. It was covered by a Taiwanese singer.
Yes, Jolene Tsai covered it. Yeah, released it as Run Run. Now, we have mentioned Jolene before. She's queen of Chinese pop. In our S Club 7 episode, she...
Don't Stop.
She covered Bring It All Back and retitled it as Don't Stop. So, Miss Jolene, we got to stop meeting like this.
Queen, no, please, let's keep meeting like this. Shall we get into the Girls Aloud debut album, Sound of the Underground?
There are two versions of this album. There's the original version, which, Joel, correct me if I'm wrong, is the one with the black background and the hideous, which you love, but hideous silver tinfoil outfits, right?
Yes, it's a picture from the No Good Advice shoot.
I much prefer the reissue where all the girls are dressed in black. It looks a little bit more like kind of casual, cool. I think that looks more like an international girl group than the silver tinfoil outfit. So, Sound of the Underground, the debut Girls Aloud album. Here we are. This is the first and only Girls Aloud album to not be completely done by Xenomania. I guess at this point it was a little bit of a compromise with the record company. Initially, Xenomania was only brought in to do two songs. I think having heard the rest of the albums and how these two singles would sit with it, it's kind of like two different bands here. So a couple more Xenomania tracks were brought in there. What we get here is a real mix of Swedish pop producers. We've got Graham Stack, who's worked with Steps. We've got Betty Boo, even. And Brian Rawling, who did Shares Believe.
Bloody hell. This is a very JB-friendly album, I would say.
More so than the other Girls Aloud albums?
Chemistry always had my heart. Like, to me, that was my album. Like, what will the neighbours say? But Chemistry was, like, my time of, like...
Same.
I got it straight away. I was off book straight away. Like, that was the album for me. I was obsessed with them, like... But I never really went back to this album. I just knew the singles.
This, I would say, is my least listened to GA album.
To be honest, I just thought, oh, it's a debut. They were finding their footing. The singles are amazing, but it's a mixed bag. And it is eclectic, but there are some songs that are really like, oh, this is so up my street.
And we're about to get into some of them, I assume.
I've got a few, but I'm going to go actually like towards the end of the album because we normally sort of start off at the beginning and it's...
Okay.
You might not agree, but it's kind of like a fight for who's going to say these tracks first. It's actually on the original release and not on the re-release. Don't Want You Back.
Yeah. That's definitely one of my faves as well.
I've got, whoa, okay, this is a bit of me. Swedish pop, but the Swedish pop that's on the side of Rocky instead of Britney. And it sounds a bit like, David, it sounds a bit like the Sugar Babes' I'll Wait For You.
Yeah, yeah.
I was listening to it and there's a few notes and I had to like go to myself and then I was singing the Sugar Babes song. I was like, oh my God.
I don't want you back. You know I'll wait for you. It takes a lot. Yeah, I get it. I totally
Jade
get
Ewan,
it.
Jade Ewan, get that lawsuit out there now. Oh no, wait, it would be against them. Ignore me, Jade. Don't worry.
But yeah, it's funny you say Swedish pop because they are done by Swedish pop producers Anders Bagg and Arnthor Bergensen, who also did Samantha Mumba's Smash, Gotta Tell You. And don't you think it even has like a very similar guitar riff to Gotta Tell You in that down, out, now?
Maybe, baby. But yeah, I think it is shocking that this was taken off the re-release.
I would have loved this as a third single.
I think it would have been perfect, like international as well. And I know like Brian Higgins and Xenomania have said like, look, you've got not a full body of work here. And I guess that's why it was taken off. But if they were trying to do an American launch or European launch, this would have been cool.
Do you think because of the first two singles that releasing something like Don't Want You Back feels like, I don't know, a little bit of a step backwards?
Yeah, it's just different, isn't it? I guess because they've made their mark of not being a generic pop
group.
Not
being so stereotypical. Whereas this sounds very formulaic-y, like, yeah, it could have been offered to, not Atomic Kitten, but you know, like
18s or something. So David, shall we talk about what was intended to be the third single and then was intended to be the fourth single? Some Kind of Miracle.
It never got its time, did it? Justice for Some Kind of Miracle. This is another one of my favorite album tracks. This one's a Xenomania track, and it's co-written by Adele Lynch from Bewitched.
The Adele of our hearts.
Now, Jolie B, you know I love a friend zone song. I have a playlist called More Than Just Friends, and this song is an absolute gem that's on it. I love it so much.
So the re-release of the album had a single version of this on it. You know, the original version's not that different. It's just a little bit more demo-y. And then by the re-release, we've got a more polished final single track.
Different vocals.
Yeah.
They swapped the lines around. So the single version, which is the one now that's most prominently on streaming, the most notable change with that one is Nadine gets the first line in verse 1 and 2. Whereas if you listen to the original album one, Kimberley opens the song.
Oh God.
And you get to hear Sarah a bit more prominently in the chorus. It just blew my mind, Joel, because I'm so used to the single version that suddenly hearing like different members of the group singing different lines, it's like, whoa, what's happening here?
Like you're in an alternate universe.
It really is like an alternate universe situation, but that is kind of how Xenomania makes music. They get each member in there to sing the songs in full and they cherry pick who sings which lines and yeah, kind of slot it all together, don't they?
All I Need, All I Don't, right? You're listening to it, you think, this sounds a bit Holly.
Oh my God! That's what I had in my notes as well.
It's only the same songwriters and producers as the song Everything I Hate on Holly's State of Mind album. It's basically the same track with different lyrics.
You just put the puzzles together.
Have to give credit to our lovely listener, Tom, aka at elondonlad, who did point that out to us in the DM. So we will uncover all these things together, everyone.
Okay, so another highlight for me, JB, is You Freak Me Out, a Xenomania track, again, written by our girl Lena from Aqua. Now, this one was originally recorded for the Freaky Friday soundtrack, but it didn't end up getting used at all. Shade.
It did get used for an ITV special to promote the film.
One at a place on a soundtrack, guys. It was a Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan movie.
Oh.
We needed Girls Aloud on there. Come on.
Now, this is very fun in an edgy Radio Disney way, aka right up my street.
Also, the CD UK performance, when they do the woo bit, they do a jump.
I was watching that CD UK performance where I was like, this is it all coming together for me. Like, this is... I had to see it live to realise what a great song it is.
It's just so much fun. And I just think, could they not have released this as like a Halloween single? I don't know, like just as a little buzz track, something for the fans maybe.
I also thought Love Hate was a real standout for me in a way of like, here we go. This is signature Girls Aloud and Xenomania, but with the edge of early Girls Aloud, not to be confused with the edge of later Girls Aloud.
I love that you say early Girls Aloud when we're in the first album and they literally only have had two singles out. But the cool drum and bass vibe of this ties in very nicely with Sound of the Underground. There are so many great songs here that really could have worked, but ultimately, looking back at this project, I wouldn't change any of the single choices. JB, we have to give a shout out to Girls Aloud.
Oh my God, speaking of Westlife.
Oh my God, look, this is definitely the best fucking thing Brian McFadden has ever done. I still cannot believe he has a co-writing credit on this song.
Louis Walsh.
Drives a fast car to make you think they're bigger, baby, than they really are. I don't need a man who has another job who sits watching telly with his belly and a bottle of rum. I've never been a man as perfect as you. No one doesn't feel the way that you do. I really, really mean it when I say it.
The single is produced by Graham Stack, who has worked with Steps before. It's a super fun disco pop banger. Actually sounds kind of like an Atomic Kitten song, which is probably why I love it.
I love like Kimberly's little bit on it. Want me, I'll be waiting.
I just love the verses. I'm just like, wow. Oh.
Yeah, it is a bop.
Never met a man as perfect as
oh.
you. I think if Atomic Kitten had released this, it would have been a top 10 hit.
Imagine them releasing a song called Girls Aloud as there's a new girl band called Girls Aloud. Very tricky. So, David, the original release of this album peaked at number 2 here in the UK. The reissue peaked at number 42, which is very respectable for an album reissue. Number 6 in the Irish charts, 20 on the Greek album charts, and 53 on the Dutch album charts. It was platinum here in the UK.
Absolutely sensational. Now, the week Girls Aloud debuted with this album, they came in number 2 behind Justin Timberlake's Justified.
Where was the joint promo, Girls Aloud and Justin?
Where was the Justified Underground tour?
I'd rather the stripped Underground tour with Kagi Agi.
That would have been, yeah, that would have been very
Nadine
massive.
And Kagi both going, hey!
Ladies and gentlemen. I can't do Nadine's accent. Please welcome Christina. Hey!
Disco dancing with the lights down low.
Ha! And then it drops and catches like fire. Ha! It's the sound I
You can tell we're still like very hung up on doing our Christina Aguilera episode. We can't get her out of our system yet.
It was great meeting Girls Aloud, and I said to them, oh my God, you're not those sugar babes, are you? Ha ha! Because I had a whole issue with them on one of the tracks on my album.
Oh gosh, that is absolutely the tour we needed.
Yes, so unfortunately we didn't get a Justified Underground or a stripped Underground tour, but you could see the girls at summer festivals over the summer, your party in the parks and such.
They hit it big with their festivals.
Got the tambourines out.
They got the bloody tambourines out on the festival stages.
So August 2003, girls are back with their third single, Life Got Cold.
My life got cold. It happened many years ago when summer slipped away. So chill now, whoa. We've got many years to go. So take it day by day.
Now, David, before we even get into it, apparently this song is said to have similarities to Oasis's Wonderwall. Now, Oasis is a band, apparently. I'm not sure.
But Noel Gallagher was given a writing credit on this because of the similarities. So I need to listen to Wonderwall. And guys, please don't hate us for it. But we're just not that way inclined. So we just wouldn't know. Now, what a mood this is. This is a bit risky, but yeah, look, we are in summer. They're releasing a dead, moody and introspective song. The spoken word verses, the melancholy chorus. It's, do you know what though? This is a brilliant song, I have to say. It was a big risk and I kind of like them for doing this.
It's also a great idea because it's perfect for the seasonal change that you're really about to get in the next few months. When summer slipped away.
Thank you, Kimberly.
This one completely passed me by originally. It was then when I got into Girls Aloud in the next album that I went back and was like, oh my God, there was a whole single I knew nothing about. I guess when you got two mammoth hits, where this is different, and don't get me wrong, I completely agree with you. And you're like, this is a fantastic moody song. Again, something different, but fitting in with what they're doing. But I guess it's probably got a little bit overshadowed by Sound of the Underground and No Good Advice.
The first two singles definitely spoke to maybe a younger audience, whereas this one opened them up to young adults and just maybe a slightly cooler crowd. And maybe that's the thinking behind Life Got Cold. But I really, really like this song. And I think maybe it's just because we're in winter right now, but just listening to this and watching the music video, it's all just really connecting for me. And God, I would say at this point, out of all the music videos they've done, this is Girls Aloud's best video, and they all look fantastic here.
This could be a film. It shows the girls wandering around an abandoned city. It's dark but gorgeous. And me as an audience member, I want to know more about these girls. Give them a gritty, independent hour and a half film of this. Like, in this lost world, this lost city, these are naughty girls, I think.
It is giving like NCIS crime drama vibes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's glamorous, it's dark, it's gorgeous, and I want to know what's going on.
Sarah Harding with that fringe and the long straightened blonde hair.
That is a gorgeous look that not a lot of people could pull off.
And also, like, the girls are looking much more sophisticated with their styling here, in whites, blacks and greys. It's slightly more grown up and I like it.
This was a top 3 hit here in the UK, number 2 in Scotland, thank you Scotland, 78 in Romania, 2 in Ireland, 12 on the Euro Hot 100 singles and 14 in Belgium. And then we've got Girls on Film, Duran Duran cover, lots of fun, great to give the parents something they already know with a Girls Aloud twist. So yeah, dead edgy, the girls did what they had to do.
Get it. So listen, at this stage, 3 singles, 3 top 3 hits for Girls Aloud. They are on a roll. Album peaked at number 2. They are well on their way of making their mark here.
And they're not there yet, but what Girls Aloud did so amazingly is that they did remove that reality show tag so quickly. I feel like, yes, the fans, because we love Popstars The Rivals, but wider than that, you know how other people, like even to this day, like these like amazing singers, X Factor winner Alexandra Burke, X Factor winner Leona Lewis, you don't hear Popstars The Rivals, Girls Aloud, it's just Girls Aloud.
And they were marketed as a legitimate girl group, you know, not attached to a TV show. So I guess the control and the messaging and the image, it was just so on point, so tight from the get-go that, I mean, for me, I can't really say because I didn't get the Popstars The Rival thing. I just got Girls Aloud as Girls Aloud in Australia. So, you know, that element of the TV show never really existed in my mind.
It did exist in mine and has lived rent-free ever since. So speaking of TV shows, David, October 2003, the UK, the world, we all love a bit of Greece. So how better to celebrate that than with an ITV special hosted by Amanda Holden called Grease Mania?
Greece is the word.
We love our manias here. We've had ABBA mania, we've got disco mania. We need the manias to come back.
And also, like, chart-topping pop stars would do it. That's the kind of cool
part
about
it. And it was such a mix, because you'd have your big pop stars, because it's great promo for them. So you've got Girls Aloud, and then you have Saran Jones from Corrie, who's doing a, like, left Corrie and is like a really, really, really successful actress. But it's just so funny of the time. So we've got Girls Aloud, the Cheeky Girls, S Club 8, Lisa Scott Lee, Tony Hadley, Westlife, Saran Jones, Jonathan Wilkes, Darius, and Gareth Gates.
Wow. Literally reality TV icons galore.
You know, I'm going to tell your kids that this was Grease 3, you know, not just a Grease special. Our girls sung Hopelessly Devoted to You.
Stunning.
Beautifully, gorgeously, with a lovely routine. You can tell, I think they'd literally just learnt that routine, because there's a few watching each other, sort of following it on.
And of course, I guess from this cast recording is where they, Girls Aloud, did their cover of Grease, right?
Which we're about to see as the B-side on the next single, David, yes.
Very, very nice. Now, guys, we are now at November 2003, and we're getting to the end of our episode because it's the last release that we're going to talk about. Here we are with Jump, a signature hit for Girls Aloud. Now, Jolie B, I'm going to ask you, were you aware that this was a cover?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, all these songs were such like mum-friendly radio hits. And I think that's why it worked so much, because we already knew it. And then it was a fresh cover for Girls Aloud. Did you know it was a cover?
Yeah, I did vaguely know it, but I didn't know it enough. So every time I now hear the original, I'm like, it's just not as good as Girls Aloud's version.
Absolutely.
Girls Aloud and Xenomania just basically brought the poppers to it.
Yeah.
It was poppers o'clock, grinding electropop beats. The vocals are great. Jump was such a turning point for Girls Aloud. Like, I would even say, people in Australia, if you say Girls Aloud, that would be the song that comes to their mind.
This song was a single for and from the Love Actually soundtrack. So now Jump is heavily featured in the film, but it isn't the Girls Aloud version. It's a very respectful choice to use the original version. The music video shows the girls sneaking around Downing Street with scenes from the film interwoven. Now, David, if the girls could only do that in real life and sort out the mess we are currently in. But as we've said before, these soundtrack moments are such a gift, as Jerry would say. You know, Jerry had It's Raining Men for Bridget Jones. Sugar Babes had Two Lost in You from this film. They were really huge moments. Obviously, Lady Marmalade in America, huge soundtrack moment. And what is amazing is that this song actually birthed the next phase for Girls Aloud.
Yeah, I think this really set Girls Aloud on a new trajectory, because I think, as Cheryl said in the book, the Dreams That Glitter book, they realise at this point that the singles that put out were quite moody and quite dark, and really what the public wanted from them was something a little bit more fun. And this was just, yeah, because you look from this point on in their career, they really do have more up-tempo, more genuinely joyful releases. So we've got Jump to thank for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can practically feel putting on my colourful strappy top and my denim mini skirt. It's coming. But thank God it did, because the next chapter was so much fun and so brilliant. Really set up Girls Aloud as we know and love them. But David, although I missed out on Life Got Cold originally and I went away, Jump reeled me back in on the Girls Aloud train.
And it's a cover that everyone knows. It's a classic and it's a feel-good party song. And yeah, I mean, I even put this in my McDonald's kids party CD, so had to have it. I think I put this and Love Machine in there.
Oh my God, amazing. You're
really educating them kids.
Oh my God, can you host me a birthday party at McDonald's?
We'll get you an ice cream cake to go with it.
Oh my God, I'd love that. I actually asked my mum the other day, I was like, did I have a McDonald's kids party? I remember going to some, but I don't remember if I had one. So David, let's do that for my 31st this year, yeah? You'll host it?
I'll burn a CD and everything.
Oh, now, you know, as we've said, Betty Boo is on a few tracks on this, but there's one song that doesn't make it onto the re-release, and I think rightly so, to be honest, not to be rude, but Love Bomb. Yeah, it sounds like, it's like, you know how the Spice Girls had some really fun B-sides? That, it's a good B-side.
Yeah, a bit silly and a bit throwaway. Yeah, I think that's what it is. But also, like, don't you think Love Bomb is a tiny bit foreshadowing of what they would do with Love Machine? In that kind of silly, bubbly kind of way? A bit cruise shippy?
Sure, sure. Absolutely, David.
Now it's time for you to shake your booty. Come let me see if you can move it. You're really looking kind of groovy. Can you handle 5'5 cuties? Somewhere chilling out in the place. With the treble and the heavy bass. Yeah. There is something that I understand. We're in command with the mic in our hands. So if the music makes you dance and the words make you sing, let's drop the love. 1, 2, 3.
So we had a number 2 hit here in the UK, 2 in Ireland. It went in at 23 in Australia. That's absolutely fantastic. 58 in Switzerland, 9 in Sweden, 2 in Scotland, 97 in Romania, 13 in New Zealand. Hello, where the hell have you been?
Okay, New Zealand.
Love to see it. Love to see it. Gold-selling single here in the UK.
I just want to say, look, it's been so much fun to just look back into this era of Girls Aloud. 20 years on, just seeing how different things were, because obviously they've been in our lives for so many years, but just looking back to a simpler time where, I don't know, things were just, they weren't big household names or individual celebrities as yet. They were just, do you know what I mean? This was a time where they were still like sharing a flat together. Like,
yeah, it absolutely. It's like, I've known these girls for most of my life, you know, 2/3 of my life, I've known of them, you know, they've been in my life and they've always been Cheryl, Kimberly, Nicola, Nadine, Sarah, like stars, huge stars. And they've always, to me, appeared like they really know what they're doing. So to go back to this bit, and not that they never knew what they were doing, they're always amazing performers, but they're figuring out and navigating life in a band and a public eye and all of that. And it's so fascinating to go back to this era.
And just also really appreciate how well executed it was, because I think at the time, with how fast pace everything is, you don't really get to appreciate how these moments, these single choices, the image, that the promotion and everything really laid the foundations for the career that we see with Girls Aloud that was so successful, you know, 20 consecutive top 10 hits. Like, it's just fascinating to go back to the start and see how we build.
Absolutely. And imagine, let's knock, it's too scary, but how bleak the 2000s would have been without them.
Yeah, exactly. Look, honestly, their music brought so much joy into our lives. I still absolutely enjoy listening to Girls Aloud. It's just, you know, my Girls Aloud playlist is like an absolute escapism for me. And I just, yeah, thank you, girls, for the music. Thank you, Xenomania, for the music. It's been perfection.
Thank you, girls. Thank you, Xenomania. Thank you, ITV. And thank you.
Thank you, Davina.
Thank you, Davina. And thank you, Jerry. So, David, anything to say? Oh, actually, David, I've got an idea for you before we really wrap up. You know, we've celebrated Pop Stars the Rivals, right?
Yeah.
What about Podcasters the Rivals? Shall we release the playlists of JB1 and DL1 and battle it out for who gets the most playlist followers when we release this episode?
Oh my God, is this because someone tweeted us and said they'd like to hear our JB1 and 2 albums?
It is.
Yes, let's do it. I think that's a brilliant idea. Now you've given me something to do because I need to finesse this album.
All right.
DL1, there's been many different iterations, but do we need to agree on an era?
Yeah, 2002.
Oh, you're not giving me very much to work with here, Joel. I thought you'd give me like a 3-year span or 5 years.
Y2K.
Okay, all right.
How's that sound to you?
We'll work it out. We'll finesse it.
Well, we can talk about it. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
I do have different albums, so
we'll talk about this off. Fuck. All right, you've heard it here. Podcasters, the rivals, JB1 and DL1 will be going on the Right Back At You Spotify playlist account. Watch out for it on socials. I'm going to be plugging hard, David, and I bet you will be too.
Oh my God, campaign.
Hit that like and follow on our albums, whatever's your favourite. Who's going to be Girls Loud? Who's going to be One True Voice? Who's going to be Javine? Who's going to be Clear? Who's going to be Fix? Oh, my God. That's very exciting. So check us out. And we will say who's won maybe on the next episode or in a future episode. We'll say it. We'll pick a deadline. So watch this space. Look out for socials and we'll go for it.
Look out for JB1 and DL1, our albums. Yeah.
Maybe we can get Davina to announce it for us.
Our fantasy albums.
Yes, it won't be original vocals. It will be our dream board of an album. So keep an eye out for that. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. So stop what you're doing and hit follow on that now. Please do subscribe. Please do leave a lovely 5-star review. We'll read it out on a future episode. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, it's the sound of the underground, darlings. Bye. Bye.